grow and give the love of Jesus, the extravagant love of Jesus, to everyone we come in contact with. So I'm excited about that vision and mission. I'm excited about what that means for us. But, you know, practically speaking, you know, it's kind of hard to conceptualize sometimes. So I got an email at the end of last year from Jennifer Lisk. Most of you will remember our first Sunday of 2012, well, January 1st, I think that was New Year's Day, we had an opportunity to just share what the Lord did for us in 2011, you know, how he impacted our lives, you know, what was good about 2011, what was challenging about 2011. And Jennifer sent me an email that just kind of prompted me to, hey, people need to hear this story, you know? People need to hear what's going on in one another's lives. This is what it means to be alive together. This is what it practically looks like to be alive together. And so in my conversations, I think it may have been with Sean at breakfast, I said, we got to tell these stories that people have. So we talked about having an interview type of a concept where we would interview people within the context of our church service, and just talk about what's going on in their lives, talk about how God's moving in their lives, what he's doing, what challenges they're facing. And I want to introduce you, and I want you to welcome with as big a welcome as you can, Jennifer Lisk. Turn that on for you. I'm going to do something that I heard somebody do recently as they preached a, you know, kind of a difficult sermon. I'm just going to ask a couple of intercessors, you know, in the audience or in the congregation to pray for Jennifer. You know, she doesn't really care for public speaking all that much. I try to encourage her that, hey, we're up here, we're just having a conversation. But just pray for her as we go through this process and just keep her covered in prayer, and that would be greatly appreciated. Will you raise your hand if you'll do that? Okay, hey, look at that.
Wow.
That's a good visual, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, so most of our faith family here knows kind of some of the story that Wayne and Jennifer and their family have been going through. If you don't, we'll try to give a little bit of a context for what that is. But from my vantage point and just being connected with them, they're in our small group and just, you know, getting to know them a little bit more over the last couple of years. They've been through some significant trials in life, some hiccups along the way, some bumps in the road, so to speak. That word doesn't really do much as far as to kind of define what they've been through. But they've gone through quite a bit of you know, trial in life over the last few years, at least the years that we've known them. And from what I understand, it even goes further back from when we've known them. So, Jennifer, what I'd like to do is just get you to give us kind of a Reader's Digest version of, you know, just the last couple of years, the trials that you experienced, and how that's played out in your life.
First, I'd like to know how he always gets out of everything.
You sent the email, that's how. Yeah, you got
to
hold that
up to my mouth. I'm going to be like the other people that come up here and forget to do this so that nobody hears you. All right. Well, actually, the reason I mentioned that it was longer than just this year, because it's heavy on my heart to think of about 60 years ago, I just really just started praying a lot about God just coming into our lives. And just I just knew that we were living that humdrum, going to church every Sunday and Wednesday or whenever the doors were open, that kind of thing. And I just knew that there was something more for our life. And so I just started praying. And it's funny because after Wayne's accident, he just told me one day, stop praying. He said, because every time you pray about something, you know, some catastrophic thing, you know, is happening to us. But anyway, so during the past 6 years, Wayne's lost two jobs, which has left us months without an income. But it was great because I know that we've seen tons of fruit just in that. But he worked for a friend, and that friend chose to let us work for weeks on end and not pay us numerous times. Mm. And then Wayne had an unexpected double hernia surgery that took him out of work for, and that's right after he had lost his job. So we had to deal with that too. We almost lost our house during all this too. And so, and then the largest thing that happened was Wayne's accident. And, I was just making lunch for the kids one day, and next thing you know it, this paramedic calls our house. Well, I didn't know it was a paramedic. It was just some strange man on the phone. And I was like, "Can I help you?" And they said, "We don't want you to panic." Well, that's the worst thing to say to me. Yeah. And so automatically I start panicking, and I'm like, "So what's going on?" They said, "Well, we have your husband in our care, and we're taking him to the hospital." And so I was like, "Okay." So I just got the kids, and we just went, you know, and the path I chose was a path that cell phones don't pick up, but miraculously, Wayne decided to call me because he knows my nerves and everything, and he was just like, "No, I got to call her." And only he can do this because his pain tolerance is crazy high. He calls in the middle of the back of the paramedic, you know, I mean the ambulance, and his eye, you know, just hanging out of his head, and he just says...
Yeah, tell, just, oh, some sorry. People might not know. Tell a little bit what happened, if you don't mind.
Well, he was tarping down a load. He was a tractor-trailer driver, and we were power only, which means we own the truck, but not the trailer. So the trailer is what he used to take the stuff to the location it needed to go, and he went to tarp it down, and the bungee cord broke. And I was going to spare y'all. I was going to do a illustration of that, but I decided I didn't want him to throw up on me either.
Yeah.
But anyway, the bungee cord just snapped. And when he did, the thing is normally he wears sunglasses like every day. But that day it was raining. And so he didn't have his sunglasses on. And when it snapped, he just looked up to see what it was, because everybody's instinct, usually when something does that, you know, you're just checking it out. When he did, the bungee cord came down and just took his eye out of his head and sliced it almost in half. And anyway, so as he explained to me yesterday.
We tried to find some pictures, but no.
I mean, I had a picture after his surgery or whatever, so it shows just how beat up and stuff he looked. But anyway, our computer crashed a couple months ago, so now we don't have those pictures. But anyway, so that's just what happened as far as the accident. So. But he calls, and he tells me from the back of the ambulance, and he says, "Well, honey, I really don't want you to panic, because I know that you are right now, but," he said, "they're taking me to Grady." And I knew then, because no one goes to Grady unless you're, like, horrifically hurt. So I was like, "Oh, my gosh, this is a lot worse." But anyway, So that's what happened. So.
All right, so that kind of just started from my vantage point, kind of started just a season of trial, and it seemed like one thing after another you guys were walking through as a family. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, Wayne is out of work. It puts a long-time stay-at-home mom who, you know, homeschooling kids, long-time, you know, these kids right here, just say, "Hey, Anna." Homeschooling kids, and you know, you're back in the job market looking for ways to essentially help support your family. So tell me a little bit about how that went as far as the job thing.
Well, Wayne's been out of work before, I've just always been at peace with it. I mean, I've never felt like the need to go back to work or anything like that. Mainly because he was an able body. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He just needed to find the job or something. So I just really, we've never ever felt like he needed to. But I remember he had his first surgery December 3rd. It took 10 doctors. It was the 10th doctor that decided to save his eye. And so on December 3rd, he had the surgery. And then I had to go back and get the kids because they had been at my parents and all that kind of stuff. And it was December 5th. I just remember us sitting there, and, you know, my husband, he's not a crier, and so he's just really tough as nails, that kind of person, but he was just sobbing, and he just looked at me. He didn't even have to say anything, and I just, I don't know. I just heard this quiet voice just say, "Go to work," and I was like, "No," mm-hmm. but I heard it, and I was like, "Okay," and I just looked at Wayne and I just said, "You know what? It's okay. We're gonna be fine because you know, nothing's ever happened to us that we can't handle. So we're gonna be just fine." So I said, "I'll find a job and we'll make it. It's fine." And he was just like, it was almost like you could just see, you know, relief and like a burden lifted off of him. But anyway, and so my sister-in-law had said, "Oh, you should go to Craigslist." And I was like, "No, I need one that pays my bills, not, you know, I don't know what's out there." And so I would just laugh it. And then one morning I rolled over and I was just praying and everything. And I just heard the Lord say, go to the computer. And so I sat at the computer and almost cried and was just praying. I'm like, "Lord, I don't know where to go. I've been sitting at home for 8 years, you know, homeschooling and doing my thing here. I have no idea really what to do." And so I sent out my resume on Craigslist, a couple of jobs or whatever. And within 15 minutes, I mean, to the minute, Wayne called, you know, he's calling me from the kitchen. He says, "Some lady named Ada," and I thought to myself, I don't remember the people's names I sent it to. So I was like, I don't know. So I started talking to her, but within 15 minutes, I had a job. And that's, I was just like, wow. So
that's cool.
Anyway, that was what happened with that.
So. That's awesome. All right. So we, yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. You know, but you know, here's the deal. You were, like you said, a homeschool mom mm-hmm. for 8 years. My conversations with you, you suggested that was a call. Mm-hmm. You know, you felt like the Lord called you to homeschool your children. So what in the world is going on? You know, here you are having to go back to work, having to go out into the job market, into the workplace, and really walk away from what you felt like was a call in your life. Can you tell the church just maybe some of the internal struggles that you were dealing with there? One with the praise and the thanksgiving for a job that happened in 15 minutes, but the reality that you were walking, you know, away from what you felt like God called you to do.
I know that I just know for a fact I was called to homeschool, and he did not release that, you know, when I went back to work. So I just was like, whatever, we're going to just do whatever we can. I felt like I was going to be super mom and work full time and homeschool full time. And, you know, Wayne, bless his heart, he did the best he could.
So, y'all know what bless your heart means. Bless his heart. That's Southern for so, it's okay.
So,
yeah.
So,
couple of pink loads later.
Well, but honestly, it was still very, very difficult for me. I mean, I'm sure it was for him or whatever, but I just remember crying every day going to work, literally in tears. And, you know, I know that God blessed me with a job that was, you know, worth, I guess, leaving them. But I just felt like every day I would just say, "Lord, I don't understand. You know, I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to do exactly what you're telling me to do. But it's hard because I know that you've called me to do that. You have not released that from me. And then I know you've called me to this place, you know." But I just, every day I just cried. And I just, one day, you know, it took me about 30 minutes to get to work. And one day I was sitting there praying and crying and just really not understanding. And I just remember just hearing, you know, "It's okay. They can make it up." And I thought, yeah, they can, because we homeschool. So we could school, you know, during the summertime if we need to. And, you know, it has taken some time since I've been home to, you know, kind of get them back on track. But, you know, he just gave me that peace, you know. And it was a lot of long nights. So we were schooling after I got off work. And there is no, at this particular place, you know, you just, they say you get off at 7, but you never do. So yeah, you were getting home at whenever and just doing school till midnight sometimes. So,
okay. So you struggled with just the reality of the call. You had all these things coming at different angles. You know, Wayne's at home recovering. How many surgeries did you? Four different surgeries on his eye, trying to, you know, get that eye back working. And praise the Lord! I mean, here he is now. You know, there's sight there. There's good stuff happening. But the reality of your story is that there was pressure on multiple sides. But in my conversations, I'll just encourage the Faith family, in the conversations that I had with her and email back and forth throughout the time of this trial or these many trials, I heard several things, Wayne included, several things that the Lord was doing in this time that were fruitful in their lives, you know, kingdom type stuff that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And, you know, they would testify of how God was, you know, doing this for us and doing this for us. Will you just give us just a few of those kingdom kind of fruits that we're bearing in that season?
Sure. Okay. Well, the first thing I would like to say is, like, the job thing and all that kind of stuff, the years of that. I mean, I would remember praying, saying, I don't want my parents to help us. I want Wayne to see that God is this awesome person and this being that he can do whatever that we need. Mm-hmm. And I just remember specifically praying for that. And we had total strangers that I'd never even met before. One stranger, I had met her briefly over the phone. We were starting a local homeschool group or whatever, and she just calls every new person or whatever briefly. I mean, I spoke to the lady for like 5 minutes, and she asked me to lunch 2 weeks later, and I thought, I don't ever go anywhere. So it was very hard to even find a babysitter for the kids, but I ended up finally getting there. And after our lunch, she just handed me a card, and it was like, oh, you know, it was nice meeting you, and, I enjoyed your company. And it was a $200 check. I just started crying. I was like, seriously? So we had food just delivered to us, and we didn't have any earthly idea where it came from, and it wasn't my parents. and it was just, to me, it was a good season to see, the Lord really practically help us without, because, you think your parents, that's always a given, but I wanted, I wanted to be blown away, and I was. Yeah. So that was that. But as far as, like, Wayne's accident, not only did he get hurt, but then the months following, William had tubes put in his ears because he was partially deaf. So we had to work through that and do some rehabilitation as far as his speech. He also decided to get something out of my car without my permission and almost chop his thumb off. So that was an emergency visit and like 4 stitches in his thumb. And then he was hurt in a golf cart incident. So he was really messed up everywhere. So anyway, I just feel like there was one thing after the other, but we just kind of laughed instead of being upset. We were just like, whatever, just bring it. We're awesome. And we know it now. So just, just bring it. And, but I've had to deal with a lot of freedom from fear and anxiety. And, I know that I've learned how to relax more instead of just because I'm such a perfectionist. I want everything down. I want it written down, and then I want to check it off because I love that. But now it's like coming back home, I'm just like, whatever. The floor's dirty, but that's because we have like 12 chickens and 2 dogs and 3 kids, whatever. Well, I will sweep once a day, and that's it. Sorry. You really wanted to know me, right? And then the other thing would be role reversal, because before his accident, I was praying again about us really truly understanding one another. And, I didn't want it this way, but that's the way the Lord brought it. So Wayne truly understands what it was. It wasn't that I was just sitting at home, just piddling my fingers, wow, let's go see outside and all this kind of stuff.
Pass the bonbons.
Yes, it was definitely not that. So we were thrown into these things, and it's just been a blessing, because even now that you know, his job so stressful and, you know, things, I could actually relate to him because the same kind of things that I was going through with my job, you know, as stressful as it was, you know, now I can relate to him. It's really, it's just, it's, I would never, we always say we would never, ever trade it, ever. We would go through it all over again, mm-hmm. even though it was very painful. But it drew us closer to the Lord, I know for me, and drew us closer together and made us more of a family. Not that we weren't before, but, you know, he has a relationship with his kids that he never had before. And
Good. That's good. That's, you know, right in the middle of what seemed to be trials and, you know, some tribulation and some different things going on. The Lord was working in the Lisk family, you know, using what the enemy had meant for destruction in their lives and was using it for his glory, for his kingdom's sake, for their family's sake, and to draw them closer together. And you addressed some of the things already as far as additional health issues that William was having. It did seem like just for people who were in connection with them on a regular basis, it seemed like one
every
thing
week.
After
just
the other.
Just ask me every week, I could tell you something that
yeah,
happened.
and the cool part for me, just as an encouragement to the Lisk family and to you guys as a church as well, that although there were struggles and things that they were dealing with, their faithfulness toward the Lord and with their mouth and with their testimony was unending. You know, I'm sure they had some times probably in the privacy of their home where they're just going, what is going on? Why all this stuff? But, you know, the testimony of their mouth was constantly, hey, I know the Lord's got this. I know he's going to take care of us. And, you know, a couple of times, and that's why I wanted Jennifer to share, you know, Jennifer would say, hey, Wayne and I, we know each other better now. We relate to one another better. Wayne, who had a job that would basically only allow him to hang out with his kids for maybe an hour a day or a couple of hours at the most a day, now he's at home, full-on daddy nanny, you know, spending some time with his kids, getting an opportunity to connect with them relationally like he had never done before, at least up to that point. So the Lord used this time for multiple things in their lives, and I'm just been encouraged with your testimony through the time. I mentioned an email that kind of prompted this whole thing. For as I mentioned, that email, and in that email that you sent in 2011 to April and I, you said you had many trials, you know, many trials throughout 2011, but you, just like you just now said, wouldn't trade them for anything. You said the pain levels were very high. I know you were dealing with some arthritis and still are to some extent. The Lord's doing some great work there, and we get an opportunity to, you know, thank the Lord for that. But you were with high levels of pain. You had all kinds of stuff going on, but you said you know that God loves you. You know that there was no doubt in your mind that God loves you, and that He's got something for you. He's got a plan for you. He's going to prosper you. Will you just give us some insight, really, with all the stuff that you've gone last year, how do you come to these statements? I know without a doubt that God loves me, even through my many trials. How do you come to that place?
Well, I know I'm trying. My brain is doing this, and I guess I'm filtering. I know that I wouldn't be able to do it without him. Like, I don't know how people do any kind of traumatic something without God. I don't know how to explain that because I don't feel like we've dealt with traumatic things without him anyway. When we were heathens, we didn't have to go through so much. But anyway, that was just my funniness. But anyway, all right. And so one of the verses that really, it's more of my life verse, I believe, and it's Jeremiah 29, and it's 11 through 13, and I'd like to read it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I really do believe that that first part of that verse, I really lived it, the first part of all of this, just believing that, you know, he does love me, and there is a successful story in this. I just remember sitting in the hospital by myself before someone came up on that first day when he was there, and I just remember just hearing him saying, there's something awesome for you. And I just kept saying, really? Because I don't really see all this with prisoners being shackled everywhere, and I just really don't see all this. But I've just felt it in my heart that I just know something awesome is going to come about all of this, and a lot of things have. And then the second part, you know, where you're seeking him with all your heart and he listens. And I thought, how awesome. You know, now it's like I live knowing that he is going, he hears me, especially if it's, you know, something that's on my heart and he wants me. I feel like exactly what we are, you know, daughters and sons of Christ. I mean, I seriously, now that I've already lived it, there, I'm beyond the believing. I know that it's there. And I don't have to sit here and wonder, is he listening? I mean, yes, there's chaos. And, you know, yes, there's, you know, months of feeling like you're in this tornado. That's the only thing I could describe. And then me keeps hearing, just step one inch, just step one inch. And I just remember that one inch took my whole breath away. But just taking that one inch, I knew I was going to just keep trucking down that road of success that he has for me, that plans for us to prosper, not to be harmed, and, you know, and that he listens just like my mom or my dad would listen to me, or Pastor Brent would listen to someone. Yep. And it just gives me a feeling that I just can't describe. So,
amen.
All right.
Amen. That's good. That's awesome. Well, you know, a verse that came to my mind as I pondered this, as I thought of all the things that were going on in Jennifer and Wayne and their family's life, was James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And you can hear it in the testimony of what Jennifer just said. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So essentially, we just heard out of Jennifer's mouth, you know, hey, you know, I don't even feel like I have to believe anymore. You know, I just know, because here's my experience through the trials were still there. My circumstances to a great extent did not change. There weren't many changes to my circumstances. I know without a doubt that my God loves me, that he cares for me, and that he's going to take care of business for me. He's going to hold me up. He is going to prosper me. His goal is not to harm me. His goal is to lift me up and produce his perfect work in me. So to me, this is an in the flesh life example right here in front of us of somebody who's gone through difficulty, and yet through it all, steadfastness continues to have its perfect work in them. And I just want to encourage you along a couple of lines, that there are stories like this within this small group of people right here. There are stories like this, some with greater intensity, some with not so much intensity, but there are stories like this all throughout our faith family. People are struggling through different you know, different trials and different tribulation in life. And this isn't really part of our conversation, but I know with Jennifer and Wayne, they were fairly new when all of this stuff started going on to our faith family, so they didn't have relationship to a great extent. It was developing. We were getting to know them. But to a large extent, they were alone through a lot of this process. We were very early in our relationship with them. They were alone, didn't have somebody to come alongside them and encourage them, to pray for them and lift them up. As we got to know them a little better, that relationship seems to be flourishing, and there are opportunities that we have had in the recent past to encourage them on their journey, to pray with them about jobs, all kinds of stuff going on, as well as they've been able to encourage us through the process. But I just want to say to you guys as a faith family, as we gather here together, there are people that are dealing with this kind of stuff all throughout our group here. And one, it's encouraging to hear the testimony of people walking through it and remaining steadfast. But two, it should prompt us. It should really draw us into prayer and support for one another. Because we know stories like this are happening, we should come alongside one another and literally be alive together with Christ. All right, amen? Amen? So I want to encourage you, as you connect with people, as you walk in relationship with people, look for opportunities. Listen to people and their stories. Listen to what's going on in their life. Listen to what's happening. And he will draw us together both in prayer and support for one another, but just in life in general. You know, Galatians says that to fulfill the law of Christ, we should bear one another's burdens. We should literally take the burdens of other people and put them on and help bear the load, help carry the load for one another. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. How many of you want to fulfill the law of Christ? I mean, I do. And so to a great great extent, fulfilling the law of Christ is to bear one another's burdens. Fulfilling the law of Christ is not merely coming to church on a weekly basis and having a Christian sing along and hearing somebody talk about Jesus. Fulfilling the law of Christ is coming and gathering with the group of people that God has called you to be with, fellowshipping with them intently, intensely, and walking life with them, and literally taking their burdens and helping them carry them. I also want to encourage you that this life in the flesh example of somebody going through a trial in their life and God remaining steadfast with them and producing steadfastness in them, this is available for you and for me. This is a testimony of God's provision in a family's life through their own admission, some of their darkest times. This is a testimony, and from what I understand of the testimony, it is for us to be encouraged. When we hear the testimony of someone who has gone through trial and gone through difficulty in life, we need to receive that testimony and say, hey, this is for us. This is for us to walk through. So where are you going through a trial in your life today? Where are you struggling in life? Whether it's, you know, your eye, you know, eye being gouged out by a broken bungee strap, or, you know, dealing with relational struggles, dealing with addiction, dealing with different things that are going on in your life, whatever the case may be, whatever the case, God is for you. He has a plan for you, and he wants to prosper you. He wants to give you victory over those things. He wants to take what the enemy has meant for destruction in your life, and he wants to use it for his glory and for his kingdom. Okay? So let's just sit here for a moment and just even receive the testimony that we've heard from the Lisk family, that God is going to produce in us steadfastness in him, that he has got this. He has got this. Right? He's not surprised by it. That's right. That's right. So let's pray. And in a second, I'm going to ask if you can go ahead and come, the worship team. We will have a Hebrew minute a little bit later toward the end of worship, if that's okay. I missed the cue there on the Hebrew minute. But we're going to worship a little bit. Thank the Lord for his kindness toward us. Thank the Lord for his provision in our lives. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for Jennifer and her willingness to get up here and share the story of her life and what's going on. Thank you for Wayne and their family. Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in their lives. Lord, we thank you that you take, Lord, out of the ashes, Lord, out of the things that aren't so pretty, and you make beautiful things out of them, God. You just grow fruitful and beautiful things out of Lord, some nasty stuff in our lives, Lord. I just thank you for that testimony I thank you for Jennifer and her testimony of faithfulness in you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to minister this family, Lord, but also that we as a faith family would receive, God, the testimony of your goodness. And we would recognize that in whatever trial we're going through, whatever difficulty we're facing, whatever thing is coming against us, Lord, that you are God and that you've got us and that you care for us like a father, a loving father, cares for his children. We love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we just ask, Lord, as we worship you, that you would be, Lord, revealed in our midst today. Your presence, your powerful presence would come and minister to us, Lord, as we minister to you. We thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name.